if we choose to put on the lens of I'm looking for six positives before I give one negative, it will change the environment of your practice as opposed to the opposite. And we all know what we default to oftentimes as coaches, especially if we're bringing baggage into the gym.
Welcome to The Hours. This is a podcast for coaches at all levels who want to think, teach, and lead better. I'm Mark Cascio, joined by Tyler Costin, and we call this The Hours because this is where we get to deep dive and have real conversations and spend real time on the things that actually matter. You can get the show notes and tools from today's episode in our weekly newsletter, so check out the link below.
Hey, I'm Tyler. This is Mark. We are Savvy Coaching.
Today's going to be a great day. Like, we're about to
keeping the main thing, and being able to.
Shout out Addicted Wins, yo.
All right. Stay savvy, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Exactly.
Today, we're going to take you through a coaching tool or just a tool that you can use in any of your practice and how you start your first 15 minutes. So the tool would be to have a 6-to-1 encouragement to correction ratio. Your first 15 minutes of practice, you are only going to look for the good, because as coaches, we want to fix everything. So we go into a practice by default thinking that when something goes well, it should go well. But when something goes bad, your responsibility is to go fix that thing. I'm going to ask you to flip that. And your approach to practice is going to be to only look for the good, give specific encouragement and positive reinforcement to the good. And I think you're going to find that your practice is going to have a really good vibe. Your athletes are going to work even harder because they know what they're doing well and that they're being seen. And I think the biggest takeaway here is going to be your headspace and your approach as a coach. We are running an Art of Coaching challenge. It's a 20-day challenge we're running in our TOC coach community. And this was our day one challenge. And the response for coaches from coaches was amazing. Almost all of them said, my positive lens or me looking for the good, my gym instantly felt better. My players were smiling and the rest of practice just went so much better and I think it was just like their attitude or their lens towards practice completely shifted.
You see what you look for and energy flows where attention goes. I'll say it again. You'll see what you look for and energy flows where your attention goes. I'll share a quick example of this. I think any parent will resonate with this story and understand implicitly what Mark and I are suggesting. I've got two daughters, 12 and 10, and they don't have phones of their own yet. We've made that decision, which results in, you guessed it, them borrowing my phone or my wife's phone all the time. Can I get your phone? Can I get your phone? I want to check our schedule. I want to check WhatsApp or whatever. I want to text my friend. So they're consistently borrowing our phones. I had a really busy day recently and I had to rush out the door for an appointment. And I have a satchel. Okay. This is called a satchel. It's not called a man purse. It's a satchel. And I keep all of my essentials in my satchel. So I never have to look for them. And when I have to move, I can leave quickly. So I grab my satchel and start to walk out to the car and I reach in to check my phone. And my phone is not in my satchel. Immediately, I start yelling. I'm mad. I'm not handling myself well. And so we're running around the house for 10 minutes. Everyone's upset. My energy is negative. I get in the car, I'm mad. I'm driving mad. I'm like taking out all my frustration on the world around me. I turn onto the main street and then I put my hand in my pocket and find my phone. It had it in my pocket. And so that is the lens. That's the filter. I was looking for a reason to blame them immediately. And so I couldn't even see that the phone was in my pocket and the entire environment of my home felt bad because of my filter. That's often how we begin practice. If we come in with a filter, we can derail the entire practice. It can feel bad for everybody because of what we're looking for. And so this filter or lens, if we choose to put on the lens of I'm looking for six positives before I give one negative, it will change the environment of your practice as opposed to the opposite. And we all know what we default to oftentimes as coaches, especially if we're bringing baggage into the gym, the field, the court, whatever, from other aspects of our life.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you said that. That's not even, I was going to go somewhere else here, and I'll get to that in a second, but I do want to address that is, man, don't, I became aware of this, and I never wanted the stress from whether it's family, whether it's just workload, whatever it is, traffic. I never wanted to bring that to my team. And you got to leave that at the door, just like you don't want your player, if they had a bad day in class or girlfriend broke up, we don't expect them to bring it to the gym, right? They do. But I also think that's the value in starting with some encouragement too, is that's the best way to flush it for yourself and your athletes.
Whether you're a first time listener or a regular listener, I want to thank you for being here. And I hope you're finding this conversation helpful. If there's something that you've heard and you want to go deeper with us, the absolute best way is to join our Savvy Basketball membership. You can get ongoing support from Tyler and I in our exclusive community, but you also get our entire classroom of courses and weekly live coaching calls. So if you have questions on offense, defense, player development, practice design, culture building, anything that you need support on, we're here to help. And the best way to get that help is through our Savvy Basketball membership. I have our 7-day free trial on. If you want to give it a shot, the link is in the description below. All right, back to the episode.
Here's like some questions that came up in our Art of Coaching Challenge, because the coaches really took this to heart. And I asked them to share their ratio. Did they get to 6-1? No one did. And that's to be expected because it's the first time they're doing it. And it takes, I would say, years of training to get where 6-1 is your default. Your default is probably going to be like 1 positive to maybe 3 corrections. So even if you become 1-1 or 2-1, that's a drastic change in your program. Another question was, well, you're not coaching if you're not fixing things or teaching or somebody's doing something wrong. You don't just let them do something wrong, right? And absolutely not. We want to, you know, move our athletes closer to where we want them to be in acquiring skill or to a standard. And the way I would suggest doing that is find someone doing it right and say, all right, hey, blow the whistle, stop everybody, 3-point line, Tyler, come show us the stride stop. You're doing an awesome job of, you know, the timing of your hand and foot slap, hitting the ground and slapping the ball, or you're staying low throughout your stride stop and your post, whatever it is. The players will now maybe compare that to what they were doing and what they were feeling and their whatever skill they were doing. A stride stop is what we're using now, but they'll also get to see it be done really well. So instead of telling that athlete what to do, you actually have a player that's doing it correct, demonstrate, or use that spotlight opportunity to find someone that's like doing it almost there and they just need one teaching point. And it's like, oh, Tyler, that was really good. Here's whenever we go back and work on this again, this is what I want you to focus on. So you can start teaching, but you're still highlighting the good. So that'd be one thing that I would share as far as like, if you're going to do this first 15 minutes of like, hey, let's just all be 6-1. Some coaches that shared their feedback were saying, well, I felt like I was just giving encouragement, like good job, great job. And it's like, okay, perfect. Like, that's a starting point, but where you really want to be is where you're affirming a behavior or a skill, where you're saying, oh, Tyler, I love the way you're doing this. You're not just walking around saying, good job, good job, good job, because you got to get those 6 in.
There's another reason to intentionally adopt this 6-1 positive to negative filter. And it comes from the study of clinical psychology that studies these ideas of positive effect and negative effect. So a positive effect would be anything that uplifts or encourages. It has an effect on someone's overall mental state. There's also the negative effect whenever we, you know, criticize or point out a failure. It has an impact. And those impacts are not equal. They are not 1-1. When I positively affect Mark, it doesn't go up at 10 points. And when I negatively affect Mark, it doesn't go up 10 points. Now the ratios, there's a number of different studies and the ratios are, there's a range, but at the very least, they say that that negative effect, it affects Mark 5 times greater than the positive effect. And that's where we actually came up with the 6-1 ratio. Whereas if one negative effect has an impact of 5 and one positive effect has an impact of 1, which is kind of the average of studies, we had better go above that to positively impact the environment. we have to get six positives to every one negative, because that one negative is five times more powerful and impactful. That's really why. And that is a filter or a lens that a savvy coach has. They're aware of the impact of their words.
Yeah, that's really good. If you picture giving an athlete feedback and you're like, hey, Tyler, that was a good shot, but your defense is just horrible. Like, you're just getting blown by. What is Tyler going to walk away? Like,
they do not remember the good shot at all. It had zero impact on them. Zero impact. Go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say, well, hold that thought. As a coach, like, you've probably had a one-on-one meeting with a player and you walk away saying like, okay, I think that went pretty well. And maybe the parent says, well, you told my kid not to shoot. And maybe you said, hey, well, I don't want you to shoot that shot. That's not the shot that we're hunting. Doesn't mean that you can't shoot, right? But so I just think you just have to be aware of what message you're relaying. And that's why they say the feedback sandwich doesn't land. They said science has like said that it's just not a good tool to use, because even if you sandwich the good into the bad back with the good, well, that's only 2-1. And we just said that the negative is 5 times. So you're still at a deficit there.
Our reality is skewed. I just made a list of all the coaches that I've had in my life. And when I write down their name, I have a memory. And my memory of every single one of these coaches, the individual memory, is a negative moment. And I'm willing to bet that these are not bad human beings. I know they didn't set out to ruin my life or basketball career. In fact, many of them overall had a very positive impact on the direction of my life and career. And yet what I remember is the negative moment. And that just goes down to human psychology, because negative effect is stronger than positive effect. And so that's the moment, that's the memory I have. And here's my question to every coach listening. Do you want every player you coach to remember a negative experience with you? Is that your goal? And I know for sure it's not our goal. And yet it's often the outcome. They can say, I love you. I loved playing for you. And yet their strongest memory is likely going to be negative if we don't have this filter, if we don't have this lens, if we're not intentional about giving them six positive effects to every one negative effect. So just zoom out a little bit and think about what we want them to remember about us when they're done playing for us.
Yeah, that's a really good way to end this one. So final takeaway for coaches, your next workout, your next practice, just take 15 minutes and just completely change the way you approach practice, the way you change, the way you approach what you're looking at, how you interact with your athletes. And what you're going to find is, I think it's going to carry over to the rest of practice. A lot of the coaches that we're working with right now said it was the best practice they had all year. And all it takes is an intentional first 15 minutes. So thanks for listening. This was The Hours. As always, stay savvy.
Stay savvy.
Thanks for making it to the end of The Hours. And before I let you go, I want to make sure you can continue to learn with us in between episodes by joining our newsletter. You'll get weekly coaching insights to your inbox, which includes coaching notes from every episode. No spam, just clear, practical tools that'll make you a better coach. You can sign up at SavvyCoach.com. Stay savvy.